Welcome to Diary 101 podcast. I am your host, Aka Kandela Kandepwe, also known as Aka. So today's episode is a little special because it's my birthday. Happy birthday to me. For my birthday this year, I thought it was a good idea to have me interviewed by somebody special. He's been a guest here. I hope you liked his episode when he was here. Unfortunately, I am not the one asking questions, so I'm a little bit nervous. So today's guest but today the person that has the flow is Kada. So I hope you guys remember Kada Piri from my previous episode. So hi Kada, I actually just hand over the floor to you.
All right, yeah, thanks for inviting me to do this birthday special with you, and I hope we shall have some good conversations. So as you always say, let's have fun, let's enjoy, and let's have a conversation as well.
Yay.
Yeah,
I hope we have fun.
I think when you're having a birthday, one of the things you do is you reflect. I think the word is reflection. The reflection could be the past year and could also be the years that you spend on earth as well. But also sometimes you also look in the future as well. What do I want to achieve in the next 5 years, in the next 1 year, in the next 1 year? Can you tell us a bit about yourself and also tell us how you're feeling now at this moment about the past and about the future?
Tough, ne? So I was born and raised in the western part of Zambia, Mungu. By my grandparents, Mr. and Mrs. Muviana, right? I'm their first grandchild, so kind of the last born. Syndrome is in me as well, because when you're raised by your grandparents, you are spoiled. Not really spoiled, but like elements of me, like there's so many stuff I wouldn't just do because why? Yeah. So the cool thing about me is I grew up with so many cousins and aunties and uncles, so I have a vast relationship with my family. So I'm really rooted in family. Like I can randomly call my uncle. Like I talk to family every week. I have family. Yeah, so it's interesting how every week it's either I'm talking to my uncle from the US, I'm talking to an aunt, I'm just catching up with somebody. It's how I love my family so much. And also that comes with its peak. So being the first grandchild is fun, but being the youngest, you get to realize that you are being bullied and sidelined. Then you realize that I could get whatever I wanted. And yeah, I was the snitch too, because the elder cousins wouldn't want to hang out with me. And I know everything So I would snitch. And I had my cousin over to my house a few days ago, and we talked, and she talked about how, like, this girl was a snitch. I was like, I agree. But I look back to those days and I feel so lonely, because everybody had a peer, somebody they could talk to, somebody they could relate to. I had no one to talk to growing up, right? I was really left on my own. And of late, I always look back to that and just think that, I've always been a loner, because even as an adult, I am the most, as much as I am rooted in family, it's always that part of me that's always just alone. I can be around my family and feel alone. So I don't know if that makes sense. So that's
probably
where my personality mostly comes from, where I am. I measure time I spend with people. I'm like, I only have this enough bandwidth to spend with family, or this amount of energy or capacity. So and again, I had a really deep-rooted relationship with my grandfather, not with my grandmother. I'm very close to my grandmother now, but I was very close to my grandfather, and looking back, I know he did see me feel very lonely. Because when you come from a very extended family, we were more than 15 growing up, right? So when you come from a very extended family, you, if you don't have somebody to lean on, and if you're the youngest, and if you are mostly bullied, you start searching for those stuff at school. So I used to get attention, but my grandparents were very even on how they gave attention. So I would do bizarre stuff to get attention. I would steal money. I would actually fight at school, or I'll just get into a petty argument at school. I wouldn't go to school. Actually, I always had this thing. Once a week, I would never go to school. Every day, like, you want me to go to school every day? So even at school, I would be a mean girl, be everywhere just to get the attention I wasn't getting at home. And I also don't blame anybody. I do look back to that and just say, oosh, I was such an attention seeker, right? And my parents are not married, so I haven't been raised by my parents, like I mentioned. So even with them, I have a very distant relationship now, because yeah, most of the stuff I look back and say, if I was given this love from home, I wouldn't have done a lot of stuff growing up, right? And it also made me very creative, honestly, because also I wasn't book smart. I needed a way to fit in, or I needed my place somewhere where I would be good at. So then I said to work, I said to volunteer more, I said to go an extra mile. And it gave me different opportunities. It gave me the opportunity to travel to different countries now. It gave me an opportunity to meet certain people I call siblings now because of that relationship. Yeah, so I do look back and see that I did seek love outside the house because I wasn't given that love. And now I see myself and see why I'm like this, because now people are asking, oh, why are you distant, why are you always quiet, why are you always reading your book and minding your own business? Is I was hurt, right? And when you're hurt, you're expected to forgive and move on, right? You might forgive, but it's hard to forget, and it's hard to build relationships after that. So now I straight up tell people, especially my family, I straight up just say, I'm not doing that because I just don't want to, or I just genuinely don't care. And I'm out. And I'm just like, ah, what's the worst that can happen that hasn't happened yet? So that's me looking back, and just realizing that I did do my best. And probably if I didn't go through what I went through, I wouldn't be the person I am now. Very independent, such a loner in this world, and I like that about myself. I like being alone. I don't like people in my space. So, in the present, currently in October, I get so emotional. I loved spending my birthday with my grandfather, so not having him is always a chore. It's like, ugh. I don't know what to do. And one thing about me is I was raised to be a giver. You know how if you're a people pleaser, you go an extra mile for
You
people
do
instead
stay,
of
yeah,
being
just do
necessary.
it, just do sometimes things. That's some to some people it's a good thing. To some people, they feel that you're back on budget.
No, for me, I look back and I am like, yo, because I would remember going an extra mile for people. And no one would go an extra mile for me, right? So I had to also learn that if it's my birth month, I should just expect nothing from anybody. Completely. Probably if it's anybody else's birthday, they would throw parties, they would get them cake, they would do stuff, right? As I grew older, my birthday was a quiet thing. My birthday is on the 15th. Everybody claims to have no money. How?
Oh yeah, because it's the middle of the month, eh?
I know, but you knew this birthday was coming up. Can you imagine for so many years, everybody telling you they don't have
Yes,
money
but I
on your
don't have money.
birthday?
I don't have money.
Every year is the
Yeah.
most tiring thing I get to hear. So as an adult, I now choose how I spend my birthday. And this year I am just going to be offline. I won't talk to anybody. I don't expect anything. So it's also I like to manage my expectations to say if I do something for somebody, I shouldn't expect anything from anybody. Yeah, now I also just do for stuff for people that I love and care about. From a place of giving. And not from if I do this and I'll get this in return.
Yeah, from a reciprocal say, I'll receive stuff from
Yeah.
them. Yes, yeah.
Yeah,
So.
I'm just at a place of I'm gonna do this because I can and I love you so much. And that gives me so much peace because there's so many people I would do stuff with and now I don't even talk to them. So honestly, I don't even want them to reach out for my birthdays. That's my love life anyway. But when I look forward, I am a little scared of what my life would turn out. I'm getting older. I realized that. I'm getting older and I do not have answers to a lot of questions, right? Like people keep asking me what you're gonna do with your life, where you're at, and I'm just like, if I can survive this week, I'm good. Yeah, so the next year I do look forward to having fun. I'm still it's gonna be my second year after graduation. So a lot of things should be solidifying. Maybe the big decisions of me relocating, starting my master's, or just finding a business partner for my business, which is something I am praying for, could work out because I know how it feels to run a business on your own, and it's not fun.
Need somebody to bounce off ideas. You also need
Yeah.
somebody who can see things you don't see as well.
I also just need somebody who's gonna say it nicely. I'm so tired of being the nice one. And I need somebody to just go like, "Do you think I'm crazy? Because what's this?" And I have tried to find a few partners. It's not working out. I'm thinking, yeah, it's not working out for a reason. So just unfortunately, I'm not. If I could find my partner in Zambia, great. It's not something I'm looking forward to. I need somebody from a different country who has a different perspective, who sees what I see, right? Because when you're all from the same country, you're looking at it from the same perspective. I need a different perspective. I need somebody that is in line with technology, right? Because I want to build a tech company and I'm not good at that, right? So I look forward to that. I do know that I'll hopefully find this person soon.
Okay, so
But now that I'm talking
it might be a
about it,
person, it might be people.
yeah.
So yeah, your mind should also be might not be one person, but a group of people who share the vision as well. So yeah.
Yeah, sure. Like I'm open to that. Hopefully a male. I am not biased. That's just a certain intensity men bring, and men are such risk takers. I'm a risk taker. I might be a little bit adverse, and there's just a lot of competence men bring that we don't see. But when you're working with men, you get to see this wouldn't fly if it was a man, and it's true. And I experience that a lot. Like a lot of people will say things to your face, and I'm always like, okay, but if it was a man, would you say that, or would you be more tame and would you say it differently? And the other thing I'm learning is when it's a woman, it's not baldness, she's just selfish or she's just self-centered. So features that are good for men,
Yeah,
or
thank you.
what we see as good qualities, are not perceived as good qualities in women. And yeah, so open to having a group of young people, even older, that I can start this business with. I already have the idea, I already have the concept, I understand it. I see where the gap is and the knowledge gap is for me. And instead of me acquiring that, yeah, me just making sure I can have those partners is something I look forward to. So yeah, that's how the next 1 year looks. And the next 1 year is like the foundation for the next 5 years. So if I can have those business partners, then the next 5 years would be building a billion-dollar business on a concept people don't think is valid. So I just need somebody who believes that this can actually be a billion-dollar company that I'm thinking about. I would definitely be happy to have them as a business partner, amongst other stuff. So yeah.
All right. Yeah, that's a lot of reflections, and I think you've raised a lot of issues which we shall explore as we go on. But I think because we've spoken more about the business, I would like you to say, what does tonse mean? Okay, the concept of tonse. And then the second thing is, what is that share? I want you to share it in such a way. You know, these days that people say they can steal your ideas, eh? They just, yeah. So I want you to share with us in such a way that it also gets out there that this is something that you're trying to do because you want to protect your intellectual property. But it also sort of gets them interested as well. So like a teaser, get them interested into the business. And then before you answer that, I just wanted to speak to you. Have you ever considered an advisory board? And an advisory board in terms of, I mean, you've got people that you've interviewed on the podcasts who come from different facets. Yeah. So one of the things entrepreneurs are doing these days is they have, before they find partners or they bring in partners, sometimes so that they don't feel alone, they have maybe five people who are willing to volunteer their time, and then they become sounding boards. Okay. And they sort of become like a governance board of directors, but it's an advisory board of directors because they don't want shareholding and stuff like that. But it's just people you go to bounce ideas off. And sometimes that's what those five heads can bring can bring your ideas to life. Okay. And open up some of the opportunities. Why don't you approach this way? Why don't you see this way? You know, why don't you go about it this way? Obviously, with NDAs in place, protecting your business as well. So that's something that you should consider. But let's talk about the business, in a way that entices the audience that is going to listen. So no, I think there's an idea here that we need to explore as well.
Okay, so just to touch base on the advisory board, I haven't considered that. I haven't even thought about it that way. I do have mentors, right? I do have people I bounce ideas on. I do have people that know what's going on, where I'm at, and that's why there's more progress now, because I took a break from working. I know, like, say that so much. I took a break from doing anything at all for like 3 months. And my mentor was just like, I want you to start working again. I want you to do what you are doing and talk about it more. That was in August. And I started having conversations with people. I started talking about my work more. And yeah, it started getting the traction. I also think it's on me not having an advisory board, because I like to build stuff at my own pace. So having people you're accountable to means you have to might need to read to meet certain d guidelines or deadlines, or certain things should be done a certain way. And I haven't yet transitioned into that yet. So I actually look forward to having such a circle that pushes me more than I push myself. Like I push myself hard. I don't push myself hard enough. So yeah, it's something I will consider and look forward to reaching out and working on.
Yeah, I think,
So
and also just before you start, an advisory board doesn't have to be a formal structure. So
yeah.
it could be also sort of like a mentoring structure as well. You could say, okay, let's meet once a month. It's you who defines it, says, hey, let's meet once a month. But
Yeah.
maybe if there's anything, I'll send you emails or anything as well. It also just helps you to start to deal with sort of a structure as well. As you say, it pushes you. I think a lot of sometimes entrepreneurs, just in my experience, because I'm a student of corporate governance, family businesses, as I said, by entrepreneurs, the transition sometimes from where you get, let's say, external funding, and that external funding comes with equity, they hold equity, and that equity comes with them now helping you to govern the organization. It's like somebody's taking your baby and dressing them in the clothes that you don't want them to dress them in.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's always conflict. If you look at the stories of the Steve Jobs, okay, remember the board is what pushed him out of up. Okay, but he was the founder of the organization. Yeah, so I think to avoid those, it helps to just have those that structure. Say, oh, okay, so this is how it is when you work with the structure. This is how you report. Well, to be honest with you, one of the things I wish we had learned early in my career is how to report to an accountable authority, not
Yeah.
your boss, okay, but
Yeah.
somebody who sits outside the organization, and somebody who comes, because your boss, you interact with them every day, you're accountable, but somebody who comes every 3 months and then you report and they say, oh, but you didn't see this, you didn't see this, you know, there's this happening, you know, there's this opportunity
Yeah.
happening, okay, yes, yeah, so I think sometimes boards also get a bit of a bash because they are governance, so they govern. But most of the times, the advice that comes from a board comes from people who are not involved in the day-to-day running. So they tend to have a sort of a detached view of what is happening, and tend to advise you. So because I think these days, just to advise you, you might need somebody also with a legal background as well,
Yeah.
so that when these deals come in, you've got an advisor, somebody who can advise you and say, oh, this contract doesn't look good. And then look, somebody maybe from finance, somebody who's a techie, you could choose. That's why I said five is enough, five or four
Yeah.
enough, yeah, because it's just you just want that balance. Plus, also, it grows you as a person as well, because when you talk to these different people, you're also starting to see, oh, okay, oh, this is how people look at strategy, this is how people look at legal issues. This is how, because when you become when it grows, you become a CEO. It's a $1 million company. All these
Yeah.
things become important. Okay. Yes. Yeah. So that's why I just wanted to just share that with you.
I do think it's a good idea. I have had those people in my life. If I have a legal side of something, I want someone to go through and just give me that perception and tell me if the contract is okay. I had that person. So somehow I've always had ideas bounce on people that I trusted. Like you said, if I would like to grow, I probably need to remove the personal aspect because a lot of these people were like personally involved with me. So if relationships end, it means even that connection ends. So having people who have an ad don't have a personal connection with me and reaching out to them, signing NDAs and telling them where I'm going. And for them, it could be like something they want to just give because they have would like to create the time.
Yes.
I'll look into that
Okay,
and
all right.
see how that goes. So, Tulsa management is it's interesting. So, Tulsa management means so Tulsa means together, right? One of my mentors gave me this name for my business because I'm not so creative with names. So he gave me because he we somehow had the same vision I know this, the vision is changing and we're outgrowing whatever we thought we were going to do. Yes. So he told me about the name, right? He told me, oh, like, I actually have this name and you can use it for your business. And since it means for together, and I was like, oosh, why not? Why not use it? And hopefully to be transferred to me soon. And the whole vision or the whole problem I'm trying to solve is how do I help young people or people in general reach their full capacity? Right? So there's something I have noticed is people always talk about challenges on a different perspective. In Zambia, we always talk about we have an unemployment issue. And this is just me. I do not know the numbers, right? Let me just say, okay, 50% of the youths are unemployed. We have these amounts of graduates coming into the market. None of them are unemployed. And the question I'm not asking is, are they unemployed because there are no jobs, or do we know the actual numbers, right? It takes me back to R&D, research and development. We have such a poor research and development because we're always giving estimates to say this is unemployed. And that's just like a factor I always like looking at when I'm talking about Tonse. Or sometimes we have conversations where we hear, oh, young people do not want to take up space. Yeah, that's
Oh,
interesting.
yes,
Have you ever asked why they don't take up space? Have you ever asked what is actually happening for them not to take up space, right? Do these young people actually have the capacity to take up the space? Do they have the skill sets needed to sit at the table you're asking them to sit at? Yeah, so just when you think about Tonse, they think about a business that's trying to create or bring resources to young people for them to reach their full potential. Yes. It's like, and it brings, you can look at it at different angles. Like I said, the R&D part, the capacity part and skill sets, and just the general access of resources. Do you know where these resources are found? When you say there are no opportunities, what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about opportunities in this term, or you're talking about opportunities in that term? Because every time you generalize information and disseminate it, you find that it's wrong information. What do you mean there are no opportunities? I know people that have opportunities. The question is, do you have the capacity and skill sets to get that opportunity? Do you know where to find that opportunity? And overall, when I talk about Tonse, I like to think about it as a data company. So a data company in the terms of we just want to harbor information that would help young people reach their full potential, right? In terms of the skill gap, in terms of the resources that are actually available to them that they can use for free or paid, the resources that are not available to them, the gap we're actually working with. And what are the actual numbers of unemployment, for example? What are the actual numbers of informal institutions or formal institutions? What are the actual numbers of what will be our actual skill gap in the next few years? And I think about it globally, like especially in Africa, we are too far off when it comes to technology. And that's where a lot of factors. So, yeah, that's what comes to mind when I think about Thompson.
All right. I think what you've just said is that somebody, a friend of mine, asked me, I think what you've just said, asked me to say, if you were invited by the president of your country and he said, can you choose one portfolio that you would like to run? I surprised them because they thought maybe I'd say finance or something. I surprised them. I said labor. I said I'll take labor or whatever, Minister of Labor or Manpower. And they asked me why. I said the first thing that I would do is that I'll get a company like Google or these companies, and I would collect data about every citizen in the country. Okay, and store the data. So I would like to know who is working, what do they do, how do they do it, okay, which times of the year do they do it, okay? And I told him why. I said, because I would want to know what population in our country, in terms of demographics. So I would like to know who is working, what are they doing, what economic activities are they doing. I said, with that data, I think a government could design policies better because they have data. Yes. And he said, I never thought about it like that. I said, number one, look at it. For you to collect that data, let's say you might need enumerators. It could provide employment for the young people in a country, okay? Because they'll be enumerating, and then the data will need to be captured. And as maybe, even if they go with tablets or whatever, the data will need to be cleaned. What? Because it will be collected by different people, okay? You might use one universal questionnaire as well. And then the data might need to be analyzed, okay? I said, I would like, as a Minister of Labor, to go into my office, open my laptop, and see a dashboard and be able to see the whole country, how many people are employed, how many are not, which age. I should be able to know the people between the age of 20 to 30, how many of them are employed, and which areas are there more that are employed, and what qualifications have they got. Because that data will help you anything that any decision that you make. Okay, if you're dealing with even economic planning, data is what is going to be, because data is the new oil. Okay, yeah. So you've just spoken to what I spoke, and this person was surprised that I thought that way. I said, a person who looks at labor has got to have data. If you don't have data, anything that you do does is not going to make any sense. Yeah, I said labor surveys are good; they are done. Most countries do them. Okay. But this will go beyond the labor survey and get a lot of this will become a combination of the census and the labor survey. But you could go. I said, because one thing that fascinates me, have you heard when they are churning out labor numbers like in the US? You can see that there's a lot of detail in the data that they collect. Okay.
True.
Yeah, so the level of detail in that, that's what I would like, because yeah, you can't solve what you cannot measure, or what you don't know how big the problem is. So data is very important. So I agree with you on
And right, I've not been very intentional about this, how
one.
I and I realize that, like, I talk about, oh, I want to have a data company, but I am not keeping data as much. So now it's also me questioning what's going on. Why am I not doing what I said I would do? I also get that I'm learning and I'm trying to unlearn, because this is very rooted into us as Africans, or as a Zambian citizen. Like, we don't really care about the data, right? But now I also like to question when they say, oh, this and this is happening. I'm like, where are the numbers? How can you justify that? Is that a fact or an assumption? Because you'd be telling us overshining numbers of youths are unemployed for 5 years. Is that true, or has the number increased, has the number decreased?
Yes, yeah.
What's going on? So the reason why a lot of companies in Zambia or Africa are not rich is because we're not utilizing data as the Western countries. I know there's a lot of laws that are being put in place. And when I was in South Africa, I said, well, guys, did you just realize that the laws are being put in place now that Africans want to utilize data? When it was them utilizing us and our data, they were doing it so freely and at a fast track that now that we all know it's money, there are now laws.
Yeah, they want to regulate it because if you think about it, I mean, Facebook has been collecting data from us for a long time. All these social media platforms, now that somebody has realized, oh yeah, we need to put laws around it, and we put laws around it. But they've been mining data for a long time.
And you're utilizing it to get rich. Because, well, I don't believe Facebook is that worthy, because of us posting pictures. No, it's collecting data and knowing how to use it,
Yes, yeah.
right? And that's what they've been doing. That's what Google does all the
Yeah.
time.
Yes, yeah.
I have a friend. She always has to read the terms and conditions for an app.
Yeah.
I now do that too. It's like even when you go on a website and say accept the cookies or collect information, and I'm like, no, I don't want you to collect my information because we never know what they're going to use that information for. So yeah, I look forward to that. And like one of the reasons why I am looking forward to having business partners is I'm looking forward to finding somebody that can navigate that part.
Okay. Yes,
Yes, like very specifically, it's how if I want to build a company and I want to it to be in the western side of the world, how do we navigate that? Like, what do we do to have access to that? Like, are we supposed to start it at a point of view from Zambia, or are we supposed to start it from a western side point of view?
Yes.
Because the access is actually different. It's easier to start from there and migrate here than to start from here and migrate there.
But also, I think that the question should be because digital companies tend to also not be jurisdictional based
Yeah.
in terms of how they operate. So I think Zambia is a location physically, but you
Yeah.
might find that the things that you do go across jurisdiction. And to be honest with you, governments are struggling of how to regulate digital companies because sometimes a digital company is a website. It's an internet page, and that internet page is accessed by across so many people in so many jurisdictions. So legislation is always chasing technology. It's always chasing technology as well, and it will never catch up because legislation is made through parliaments, through politicians, through government. And these are bureaucracies in their own space. Yeah. So you'll find that technology, for example, mobile wallets, where people are sending money through phones, regulators woke up 1 or 2 years after people had already started sending it. And they woke up because people were complaining that some people are stealing their mobile wallets. They're cloning mobile wallets. So that's when they started to say, okay, let's regulate this market. But telcos had made so much money from mobile wallets and people sending each other money. And banks are also just waking up now and saying, okay, but this is an opportunity of, and not in a market like South Africa, where a lot of people can use apps and stuff like that, but in markets where there's a lot of unbanked as well. So those are some of the things that you should think. So I think as you're thinking about your business, and I know that we as you're thinking about your business, also think about it. Don't think about it physically, think about it in Zambia, but
Yeah.
digitally, think about it as a global business. And if the service that it provides. So sometimes you'll find that what you're creating, there's no laws for it as well. So
Actually, there are no laws in Zambia for it so far. Like, it's not very heavily like regulated. And I'm like, okay.
So one of the business opportunities that you've got, is to
Yeah.
be able to lobby and to drive that legislation as well. Because if you are a first taker or a first person to go into a market, or there are other people there, but they're not thinking about legislation. Sometimes the way you also think about it is, okay, how would this look like? That's why you see that big companies sometimes they lobby for legislation, isn't it?
Yeah.
Although the legislation suits them, but they don't want to be caught where there's no legislation and the legislation comes in and they have to pay a lot of money. So they become very
Yeah.
proactive, say, let's lobby for the legislation. It might have some things we don't like, but it will have some things that we like. But at least there's legislation so that it doesn't come like a surprise. And then it costs you money.
I like that. This is gonna leave me with a lot of stuff to revisit. And a lot of commitments that I have not been wanting to commit to for me to commit to, because I do want to build this. I am building this in a different way, strategically. I just know for the next year coming, I now need to commit to certain things so that I can see it through, like go all in. And yeah, it's interesting to see.
So I'm glad that you see this conversation not happening. So these are basically gifts that you're being given because you don't get gifts.
I still want a physical present, kid. Can
Okay.
please, as you are thinking this as a gift, I also love my physical presence.
All right. That's fine.
But yeah, this is a really good birthday gift that I really appreciate.
So I think starting any business is a challenge. It's a big challenge, especially if you're young, you're in an African country, and Africa has got its own resources. So what are the challenges that you've faced so far in getting your business? I think you've spoken more about yourself and getting committed and getting motivated to do these things. But what do you think, what are the external factors that you've faced? You've spoken something about the way people sometimes speak to you because they're human and you like that. But let's look at the environment itself and the challenges, or sometimes challenges could also be opportunities. What are the things that you think are out there that you've discovered? Maybe there were things you knew, or there are things that you never knew as well.
Actually realized that the skill gap challenge is actually real. Something I experienced myself, right? I'm always learning a new skill. And I experienced a skill gap skill challenge. And then you also realize that amongst young people too, there's such a really huge gap of skill gap that if I hire somebody to be my assistant, I have to constantly for months walk them through just learning a specific skill, which is not a bad thing, right? Like the lack of agility, and to a certain extent it becomes like a lack of, like, wasting my time if I'm teaching you the same thing over and over again. So the skill gap challenge is real, and this is where I come in. I'm trying to build a business that bridges that gap, that's in between everybody. Like, this is where we're at, and this is the gap, and we need to fill it somehow at a lower cost than other people. So even just access to resources, and resources doesn't always mean money. The right resources. So if I want to build a tech company and I have no tech affiliation, this is me trying to get into the industry, right? Who do I go to have that conversation with? Who can I reach out to? I found that as a challenge, which means there's a gap there. That's an opportunity for somebody to fill it in, right? I know there are circles where, like, there are women in tech. I don't know if there's a men in tech anywhere. The truth is, as much as I like to be part of women related stuff, can I just be part of something that gives me what I want and I move on? Because when you're always part of women in shiny, women in that, guys, we are part of the problem because we are always saying this is not accessibly available to us, so we're going to create a platform for that. And it also just hinders the other people that have the right skill sets because we're only limiting it to women. And I'm not saying that women are not left behind. I just want to be known as Akakande Lakande Pursue of Tose Management. I like, or every time you are part of the first woman, the first, and when it's a man, it's just there are no labels.
Yeah, there's
That's
no who you are
challenging.
first for.
We even move on with our lives. Think that's also a challenge, that everything is labeled. And now we all can't talk about it because you don't want to be seen as somebody going against the current norm of how things are being done. So it's also hard to find your place when I don't like to be associated to so many stuff, right? I just want to have access to the right resources to help me build my company. I do not care if it's a women organization, it's a woman mentor, a man. I genuinely don't care. I just want that access, right? So I know that the labels are something we can't run away from, but it's just too much. You know? Everything is labeled. So even the victim mindset is there. Because if I don't work hard enough to give myself an opportunity to have access to that room, I will start saying I don't have access because I'm a woman. No, probably you just didn't work hard enough. So it's something I haven't been noticing as okay, it's too much. And also, the other thing about these women associations and stuff that we don't talk about as women is it's not as nice. The people up there are not so nice. They're not kind human beings. They might seem so, but they're not. They're actually mean girls, older women who are just being mean. And half of them don't even like each other, but because they are part of something, they all pretend to like each other. And the rest of us are scared of getting into those circles because they're just like, I just don't want to be associated to this. And it's something I have seen and I have experienced, right? And if anybody knows me, I'm rarely associated to a lot of stuff. I'm rarely at certain events. And a lot of people say, your business won't grow because you're not doing enough networking. And I'm like, no, I just need that one thing. If I can get that one thing, my business will be up and running and it won't require me to downgrade myself or to pretend to be part of certain affiliations that might not even be good for me just because.
From
Yeah,
a growth
just.
perspective, from a mentorship perspective, from a
And I guess this is why most of my mentors are male. A girl and I'm just like, well, that was fun.
let me see. It's the influence of your, when you spoke about your grandfather, it's the influence of your grandfather. I think most of us don't know, but sometimes the people we associate with the person who has the most impact in our lives.
Yeah, true.
They tend to remind us of that person, and they provide us the comfort, the safety that they had in that person. As you say, dear, you are very close to him, because that was the first, if you were to put it in your life, that's the first man, okay, that's or male figure that you related to, okay, and you felt safe space in their space, okay. So what values he left around you, and the knowledge and the wisdom that he had that they left around you, that is what you measure people against, to say, does this person provide me with that? Because that's what everybody do. There's always a standard we compare, say, okay, they can't be your grandfather, but
Yeah.
some certain things that you see, the wisdom, the drive, the vision, okay, the being able to tell you some uncomfortable truths that you see that, oh, okay, this person is like that. And I'm glad that you're not apologetic about what you
I'm
want.
not.
Yes,
And you know,
yeah. I
and
mean, you're
when I
putting it
think
up
about
there to the public, yeah.
yeah, and when I think about it now, it's something us young women are not talking about. And I talk about this with my friends a lot. Women are not nice people sometimes. And every single time I have a challenge with a woman who's big in any industry, I take it back to any male person. And they'll probably say, it can only be women. And at first, I would get so offended. I'm like, no, but women are so. No. There's something we genuinely need to work on as a gender that we are not talking about, because we're all pretending, we're all trying to fit in, we're all trying to be liked. And for me, I like human beings. I love the species called a human being. I would just not pretend to like a specific human being just because. And maybe that would be what would take my success longer, right? Because my lack of affiliation, my lack of what? Because even with a podcast, you reach out to these women, you might even know them, and they're very successful. They know you by name, they've seen you at events, they have your number. And because it doesn't meet their standard, they wouldn't want to be part of the podcast. And I had a conversation with somebody, and I said, well, if you do want to be part of this podcast when it was nothing, well, it's still going to be successful. I just don't know how I will feel about it to have you in the podcast when it's successful. Point blank. And I respect people's time. I respect their choice on making the decision not to be part of something. I just hope that when it's my turn to say no, I'll probably say it in a kinder and more polite way, but I'll probably still say the same thing, to say, I don't think this is for me, and I don't think we would like to be associated. And that's okay. Like if I can respect you now when I'm not as successful as you, well, I hope 5 years from now you look back and you reach out and not be me, but my team will probably say no from me anyway. But yeah, so I'm learning a lot with the podcast and giving people, and this is even men say no, right? Like even men say no, women say no. I'm just saying, on a perspective, I'm very skeptical to be associated with a lot of stuff because it comes with the good,
And it
but
also
it's
comes
like
with
you're
the
selling your soul to
bad.
just get a certain point, and I'm just not ready for that yet. I don't know if I ever will be. If I change my mind, it's okay, but I just don't know if I'll ever be ready to do that. Yeah.
And you know, I've talked to two women also who are in South Africa also doing podcasting, and both of them are accountants as well. And one of the things they've told me is that they're struggling to get people to speak on the podcast. Okay. So they've had to switch their strategy to get people who have got a story to tell. So they look at the storyline rather than number of likes. Okay. They say, you know, this story one day somebody will listen to it, somebody will listen to it, somebody will listen to it. Because we're creating, I think one person, one of them said something profound to say, we're creating it for our grandchildren to listen to this and to be able to listen to the stories to say, oh, this was my grandfather. At least he left something, which some of us, maybe our grandparents did not leave anything, even written. Okay, so we're leaving a living word. Okay, so he said at first they were chasing the in the profession to say, hey, let me speak to this one, let me bring this one, maybe it will attract people. Then they realized, no, but the stories are with everybody. Sometimes the people that are not even well known in the profession, but they have got very profound stories that are relatable to others. And that people find very interesting. And that might motivate, that's a one person, okay, that was thinking of giving up and say, I just listened to a podcast. And then I realized that, you know what? If this person, because you and me, there are people who look up at us and think they've got it sorted out, they've got it together, okay? But we haven't got it together. We also struggle. There's things we struggle about, the things we don't know, the questions that we still don't have answers to as well. Yeah, so I'm glad that you've expressed that because sometimes you can chase to bring the big names, but sometimes the names that you're creating today are the names that 5 years from now will be the names that will carry your brand as well. Okay. To say, and I've listened to a lot of interesting people doing a lot of interesting things on your podcast as well. And I've said, these are real stories because sometimes, you know, you can get somebody who is not real. Who will tell you as if everything is easy and everything gets done? And you can get somebody who says, I struggle with this, I struggle with that. Okay. This is what I've learned. They share their lessons, their life lessons as well. So I'm glad that you have started this. This is a journey. I mean, you are going to to the number of episodes that you've done there. That's knowledge that you've built. You said you're setting a data company, isn't it? You've also got a knowledge company. Your podcast is a knowledge company because that knowledge that you've got, okay, could be knowledge that could be put to great use by others also listening to that knowledge, but also it could be translated into what you want your business to be as well. So just a thought that I just wanted to give you the same.
And I know that's like one of the cool thing is, right? We don't like to talk about the realities. I could come here and tell you all the good stuff, right? There's so much you can learn from the good stuff. And then I won't be relatable because my life is so picture perfect, right? And a lot of people have been. So, with one thing about me as an individual, a few people have access to me, right? You know, you and I now talk. We now have a hobby. We talk to each other, right? Even at a young age, I realized because I was a people pleaser, growing up, I like my boundaries and I like to not have people have access to me. So, building on relationships like that, it's been how do I still make people feel special and not have access to me? And even with my socials, to be honest, it's very disconnected to what I do. I love doing this. It's the one way I try to hope people can connect to me, but there's so much I'm willing to share of myself on socials. My wins, my losses. So I've heard people talk about, oh no, you talk about what you do, the wins so much, and you don't talk about the challenges. And I thought, and I'm like, okay, cool. It'd be a good time to actually just spill out a few stuff. And next year, when I listen to this on my birthday, I'll see if I still feel the same way. I probably will. I was reading a post of me in a certain company that I created with my friends, and I'm like, I'm still the same person. I have grown so much, but I am still this person. Wow. So I like to stay true to myself and just be honest. At least I'm not lying and pretending is my way of thinking now.
Yeah, and I and what you just said is what of profound. I spoke on another podcast, and in my conversation, it was a long conversation, but I spoke about firstborn, about the challenges of a firstborn, and being a firstborn and being not having anyone in front of you, so always blazing the path, okay, always having to beat the jungle with a with a panga knife to make way for the others to come through. And I didn't know that that could resonate with and I started getting a lot of WhatsApps and people talking about, I'm glad that you spoke about firstborns. Nobody speaks about firstborns. They always speak about lastborns, okay? And they always speak about the lastborn, how the lastborn is versus the lastborn and whatever. They don't speak about middle child. They don't speak about firstborn, okay? And there's a guy who wrote to me and told me his story about him being a firstborn and his only boy and having two sisters like myself, and related to what I'd say, okay? So I said, oh, okay, so this is how stories resonate, and that's what you're saying today, to say life stories resonate, and if you're honest and sometimes very honest about what you feel and how you feel about it, it resonates with a lot of people, and that's what you are trying also to what to bring to the conversation that you do bring, a lot of people that you do bring as well to your podcast. So that's one thing that you must also celebrate on your birthday as well, is that you
I
brought
will.
humanity together. You brought humanity together, and you have stories that you've collected of things that people didn't know about others.
And you know, one interesting thing is one thing about my story no one knows is I might have been raised by my grandparents and I was the youngest in that household. When I grew up, I was an actual firstborn to both of my parents, right? So I went from being raised as the youngest and living my life fully. It's all about me to now thinking about other people after 18. And I'm just like, what's going on? And that's like the twist when you are raised by your grandparents, and then the reality is you're not the last born, you're the first born. You have a standard, you have to pave the way, you have to do this, you have to do that. And I lived and I had to navigate that a lot, right? Now I can freely talk about it to say, yeah, so what if I'm the firstborn? I wasn't raised to be a firstborn. Like, guys, it's headache. It's I this isn't for me. And I say that to my parents a lot. But the amount of anxiety I had to do to learn just navigate, the amount of anxiety I had to navigate and panic, the two roles of being raised the youngest and being actually spoiled, to getting what you want, to living your life, to now living with your mom and being shoved in the corner. You have to figure, like, I had to figure a lot of stuff on my own.
I
Like, you
see,
have to figure that out. You have to figure that out. You're not the last born, you're not the only child, you're not, like, it's actually real. I don't know if anybody will ever relate. If you're raised by your grandparents and you're an actual firstborn but raised as the last born, it's something you just go like, I'm not doing that. And I'm so grateful that the firstborn, I'm grateful for learning the responsibility that comes with it. And I'm grateful that I was raised as the last born, because then I got to decide what responsibility is for me and not is, and just saying. So it's some might not have had the opportunity to be raised as a person who's self-centered, because you're raised as a youngest, you become self-centered, you become selfish, right? Till you turn into an adult and you now also have to pick your battles and knowing, okay, so if I'm gonna do that, I'm not going to do that. So the two have really shaped my life, the two roles, the two identities that I got to play for the last few years, a quarter century, I guess, has taught me that you can actually just navigate that. And the two roles teach you something about yourself.
All right. That's very interesting. I'm going to that and seeing that you post a lot of interesting summaries about books. Tell us about your love of reading, where it came from, and what are you reading right now? Tell us what you read, what you like to read, and what are you reading right now? And what will you share to somebody who is in your space or is going to be listening to this podcast and bought books? They're just sitting and they have not touched any of those books.
I would say reading helps you learn more about yourself. Reading will help you travel to places you've not traveled to yet. Reading will help your imagination. Reading might probably save your life if you're depressed. That's what reading does for me, right? If you are raised from an extended family, even if you're not raised from an extended family, and you don't have your own space, your own place in life, reading will help you create an imaginary world that you strive to create for yourself. I am living proof that you can create your life. I used to tell people I used to grow up with, I will travel to America one way or another. And they're like, how are you going to travel? You're not that smart. I will go to America one way or another. And when I traveled to America, right? It's a funny story. My mom's elder sister, who I call my mom, told me when I went to her place for a vacation for a few weeks, she told me, when I heard you went to America, I just said, you or this child kept telling us she'd travel the world. And she traveled the world, and we did not give her money. We did not give her a coin to travel the world. Like, I came through for myself. I did all my pre-travel stuff with my own money, my post-travel stuff with my own money. We were given money, but I had my own money too. And my family was so shocked that the only thing they had to do was take me to the airport. Yeah. And now she talks about it all the time. She's like, when you used to say this when you're growing up, to just say, this is not my life. I don't think I was born for this. We used to laugh to just say, yo, this kid, what are we going to do with her? And now you're living proof that you can think of a world and have it and keep striving for it. And you keep traveling and you keep living this life. And yeah. And people might think you're delusional, then in the end, you're not, because then you've achieved it. So I'm living proof that reading is real. I started to read early with my grandfather. It's like I did everything with my grandfather at this point. But one of the first books I read was Gifted Hands, right? Ben Carson, because I
Yes,
was not such a good student, and my mom was like, "You read this book; it will inspire you." I
thank
do remember the stories. I do relate to a lot of stuff. It did inspire me to read more. So I would read at the lo local library. At my school, I would read newspapers to my grandfather. I continued to read more, right? Like, I continued to read,
you.
read, read. And this is why I'm also passionate about local libraries. Dreams are in the library. When you look at a book, look at somebody's life and dream, right? You're walking through someone's life at their own perspective and your own perspective. It helps you just imagine, to broaden your imagination, to think, okay, I might be living in the suburbs now, but look at this person, like Ben Carson's book, right? It talks about how you're the smartest kid. I think he repeated a grades to being this doctor that separated two hearts or two brains, whichever the story is. And when you are not doing so well, like I was in high school, you realize to say, oh, okay, this is a possibility. To be honest, me and my family was more worried that I'd be pregnant and I wouldn't pass my high school certificate. But then I did better than any of my cousins, you know? I graduated in university first attempt. Never flopped a course. And this is how you know I was such a lost cause. They're more worried because I'd read more of non-fictional books and fictional books than I would actually read school stuff. Yeah. So if you're out there with a book, read it. Read a page a day for yourself. I think reading is a gift to yourself. Reading and writing, I'm not so good at writing, journaling, but that's a gift to yourself. You giving your gifting yourself 30 minutes of your day to read is the best investment you can ever. Yeah.
And it also has the benefits. It helps with memory as well. And as you said, it also helps with depression as well.
Yeah.
So what are you reading right now? And can you tell us what one book you mentioned Ben Carson as your first book, but what is that one book that you would recommend to somebody to read?
Good thing is I'm looking at my nightstand and I'm looking at my books. So I'm reading Percy Jackson because I'm trying to get back to my fictional life. I'm also reading Steps to the Top. I don't know how to pronounce the author's name, but yeah, it starts with Z. Then I'm reading 12 Rules of Life by Jordan B. Peterson.
Jordan,
Yeah, he's so good at what he does. It's a hard book to read, by the way. I've had it for 2 months on my bookshelf, on my nightstand, and it's you need to be in a different space to understand and consume his work. It's not something you can peruse through and still survive and still remember a few stuff. I think I'm
You need to
only
read
done
it.
it.
You need to digest it as you read it.
Yeah. So it's taking me, Jordan Peterson reminds me of J reminds me of Samuel Sinek's books. Samuel Sinek's books don't require you to dissolve them. You just can't run through them. Let me see. I will recommend five books I think you should read. My first book would be The Psychology of Money.
Okay. All right.
It
I want to
just,
start reading that one.
yeah, it just, Morgan Housley does know how to space stuff and explain how you look at money. So it's a good book as a young adult to read as you are trying to navigate life and transition. So
All
you
right.
just understand your relationship with money and why you think the way you think about money. Is it your thought or is it other people's thought, right? The second one would be, actually, the first one should have been, but I'll put it as the second one, Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. I think it's a timeless book that's been there for centuries, for a century now. And it talks about the, like you said, in Think and Grow Rich, it's the mastermind. You talked about an advisory board. It's like having people that help you navigate life and give you ideas on your business. He calls it a mastermind, but he talks about the power of the subconscious mind, faith, the importance of faith, the importance of desire. There's so many chapters there. It has 13 rules. I love faith so much because it really just helps you navigate life in a different spectrum. So I actually really like it. Because if you don't really learn that about yourself, and if you don't have faith, then you realize that there's something you're missing in this world. So the next one I would say would be the Four Agreements. So the Four Agreements teaches you about the perceptions of life, the things you should expect, the things that might happen, not happen, and it just makes you learn more about yourself. I am a lover of what? Personal awareness and personal development. So the four agreements let you learn more about yourself. And I think we need to learn more about ourselves to understand the world. If you know how to control your emotions, if you know to understand yourself, then yeah, you'd actually enjoy that. I would say Start With Why by Samuel Sinek is a book you should read. I love his work. So if you want to know why you were brought on earth, you want to understand the role you're playing and why you should start with why and what are the bigger companies that were built from that perspective, I would recommend Samuel Sinek's work. I'm trying to think. Yes, one of my book, the books I read when I was younger was Rich Dad, Poor Dad. I love Robert Kiyosaki's work, right? He also gives you a different perspective on how you should look at your life. He asks very important questions that you question the way you look at life. So I love that about Robert Kiyosaki. So Think and Grow, not Think and Grow, Rich Dad, Poor Dad is a book you read as early. I read Rich Dad Poor Dad at 16, right? I read Robert Kiyosaki's books every year because he has different books. Just Robert Kiyosaki questions why we don't believe in capitalism and why capitalism is working for others and what a lot of stuff means when you're in different employments. Like if you're self-employed, employed, you're a business owner, investor, what would that look like when it comes to your cash flow? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves, right? Because I'm Robert Kiyosaki conscious. I know when I'm buying stuff, I am. This is a liability, this is an asset, right? I know when we are talking about liability and assets, an accounting point of view is different. But with Robert Kiyosaki, is an asset is something that brings money into your bank account. A liability is something that takes away money. So you buying a car, is that a liability or an asset? So I love that point of view. So I guess I really need to read another Robert Kiyosaki book before the year ends, because I need to know my net worth as a person. And now heading for my mid-20s, I need to literally put my finances in order. So those are my favorite books. So The Psychology of Money, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, The Four Agreements, What's this? Think and grow rich and start with why.
Why?
And also a bonus would be The Richest Man in Babylon.
Okay.
Now that's a book.
Yeah, now that's a book, yeah.
Now that's an
Exactly.
ancient book that everybody living on this earth should read.
Yeah, that's a timeless classic.
You learn a lot.
Yeah.
You learn a lot. The Babylonians did a lot of stuff that asked you important. I haven't reread that book this year, so I'll probably read it again for my own self.
Okay.
Yeah.
All
So
right.
yeah, those are a few books I would actually recommend.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a wonderful conversation. So I think as a closing remark, I would say, what would you tell yourself to your younger self? So let's say when you were 16, what if you were to go back, what would you tell yourself? And then if you are 40, what are you going to tell yourself when you're 40?
When I'm 16, I would have told 16-year-old Aka that it's okay if people don't like you. It's okay if you feel lonely and you don't fit in, right? It's okay even if you're not getting this love from home. That doesn't justify it looking for it somewhere else. You're doing great. And I never like going with the concept you are enough because it brings a perception that you're not enough as a person. But I would also tell her she's good enough. Whatever she did, she's good enough. And she doesn't need to fit in. She's good. She'll always be good. To my 40-year-old self, I hope now, I hope when you look back, you don't have any regrets of any of the choices you make for the next 15 years, or any of the choices you made the last 15 years. I'm glad you're successful as you are and wealthy, but not just in terms of money, in terms of relationships, friendships, family, in terms of understanding your purpose. And as you are 40 now, if you feel like it's time for you to change your career path and work on something new, I give you the permission to pursue that because you are not meant to be one person. You are meant to explore life, live it in different ways. Yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting. And at 40, we shall do another podcast with you.
Yes.
I'll say this is what you say is what
Because
I'm
I do
40.
think at 40, if Tonse is very successful, I would be like a Bill Gates. I would start a new project.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, I would start a new project. I would work on something else. So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Yeah, no, thanks for being brave and also sitting on the other side of the podcast. This was a special edition, and there's been so much insight. I mean, this could be a book, or could be the books as well. The discussion that we've had for 1 hour, but thanks for your time, and thanks also for being honest and authentic. I think the word that is important to me is authenticity. Saying what you say and how you feel, and saying this is what frustrates me, or this is how I see things, because I'm different. And there's nobody else who's going to be born with the same thinking, with the same words, who speaks the same like me in the next 1,000 years or 2,000 years. So this is what I leave as a legacy. So thanks for creating this platform. And wishing you well with the business as well, and continue to give this space to others as well, so that they can also share their stories. And thanks for giving me this opportunity, it's a special opportunity to be host of this special edition. Thanks.
Thank you, Kada, for being so patient. I know we had an interesting thing concerning schedules. So I'm really just grateful for you interviewing me and giving me this platform today. I know I created it, but it's bigger than me. And it feels weird that it's actually possible I could be on the other side and I'd be the one talking for hours.
Yeah.
I don't know how I kept you guys talking for hours. Now I have an experience to say, okay, people can actually talking for hours. So again, kind of thanks for showing up today and being
all
here.
Right.
And for everybody listening, that's it from us. I hope you like this. I hope this helps you learn more about me. Yeah, that feels weird to say, but I hope you learn something new about me and feel more connected to the podcast and me and the work I do. But we're really grateful you stayed tuned. And that's it from us this afternoon. Bye.
Bye.